Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, better known as the VIP. I'm the host, Rick Fox, and my guest today, Rob Galbraith, is going to smash you in the face with information. He is, of the guys that and gals I've been talking to lately, probably one of the top sort of just information and like, here's how to go do it, and here's the things, like all of his background that speaks to what a great source he's going to be, and I'm excited for you to hear from him. So, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here.
And so let me give you a little background on Rob, and then I want to hear his story. But Rob is the, I think, self-appointed most interesting man in insurance, according to his LinkedIn tab, unless somebody else called him that.
It's actually, I got that from Nick Lamparelli, one of the earliest podcasts I did with the Profiles in Risk.
I love it.
Stuck,
so, when you're not drinking Dos Equis, you're podcasting? Is that how that whole
thing is? So it's funny. I've had so many people come up to me at conferences and stuff, Rick, and they're like, I love your podcast. I'm like, I don't have a podcast, but I have probably been a guest on at least 25 podcasts. I'm maybe the most frequent insurance podcast guest ever.
Well, this will be the best one ever that you've ever done. I guarantee it. Just listen, everybody, and you'll know. And don't forget to subscribe, and we'll give you information on Rob later on how to get a hold of him. But for me, just go follow me on or connect with me on LinkedIn, and then you'll know exactly when all of our new episodes are coming out. And make sure to go, like I said, subscribe, give us a rating, give us a review, send me a note on LinkedIn. Let me know what you're liking, what we can do better, any interesting guests. We have the most interesting guests today, but there's other interesting guests out there as well. So currently Rob is the Director of Innovation at AF Group and probably better known at this point for being an author. And he wrote the book, The End of Insurance as We Know It. And what's cool about that book, Amazon, number one on Amazon list for 12 straight months at some point during the month. Is that right, Rob?
Correct.
It's a good read. And after you listen to Rob and hear how kind of easy he is to listen to, it's the same kind of a read. So also later, we will tell you how to find that book and you can go out and get it. So, but what I want to do, and most we do almost every episode, is I want to hand it over to Rob and let everybody get to know you a little bit and hear your journey and how you got here. So Rob, tell us how Rob Galbraith became the most interesting man in insurance.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I had the opportunity to hear your story on a podcast with my boss, Abel Travis. And so you've got a great background. So I'm maybe a little bit more direct in terms of how I fell into the insurance industry. I born and raised in Michigan. I went to Michigan State. Was an economics major.
Go Spartans.
And yeah, go green, go white. And had the opportunity to work at the Federal Reserve in Washington, D.C. as my first job out of college in the mid-90s, which is just, you know, amazing time to be kind of young and single and, you know, working for Alan Greenspan. That was a bit better. So moved to San Antonio, which is home for me still today in 2020, back in 1998, it's hard to imagine.
Wow.
And I used to have a long story of why I moved to San Antonio, but now that I've gotten older and wiser, I just say it was for a girl who's now my ex-wife. And so there's a long story there that I won't bore your listeners with. But
San Antonio's cool enough that you stayed.
She's still here. We have a son together. She's my college sweetheart, and we're on good terms. We're not PFS, but we're not at each other's throat. So anyway, I moved down here and just never looked back. So had the opportunity to catch on with USA and was there for almost 20 years, failed actuary, moved into the underwriting department, and just loved underwriting because every day was different. You know, many of the other jobs I had, I had a few before I made a leap to underwriting. There was a lot of repetition to it. So either you had the same thing you were doing every month, or when it's pricing auto insurance, it's like, you know, price insurance in South Dakota. Okay, you know, do the same thing for Wyoming. And so it just kind of got repetitive, boring. And for underwriting, every day was a different problem, a different challenge. And that's what I loved about it. So I spent, you know, the majority of my career there. And what kind of, you know, led me to become an author was it was almost like a I didn't set out to write a book, which is kind of weird. I just started meeting all these startups, all these technologies, this whole kind of insure tech movement in the mid 2010s. And I was just blown away by aerial imagery and machine learning and drones and like all this tech, and people were coming from Silicon Valley, whereas I had heard of Silicon Valley, but like I'd never met anybody from Silicon Valley before and stuff. And so all of a sudden everyone's talking about their, you know, venture fundraising rounds, right, and this right, and that, right. Like all those terms. I'm like, yeah, I read about that in like the Wall Street Journal, but that's not insurance at all, right? You must be lost. And I just thought it was cool. I thought it was new. I thought it was different. And the thing that had the most impact was, and it wasn't one technology or one company, but I'd be in a meeting and you'd see some technology and you just walk out and you're like, that's what insurance is going to look like 10 years from now. Like it was such a cool feeling. You're like, I just got a glimpse of the future. And so, they always say, like, when you can't stop thinking about something, what should you do? Write it down. And so that's what I did. I started a Word document, just tried to jot it down some thoughts, and I kept adding to it over the course of time. And the next thing I knew, it was like 25 pages, single space, just random thoughts, stream of consciousness. Yeah. So I was like, well, I've never written a paper for college that was more than like 10 pages, double space, where you're trying to like monkey with the margin.
Squeeze it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Make the
margins
size
a little tighter so you can just put in less words and it looks longer. Yeah.
Same thing. You got it. So then I thought I was onto something. So I reached out to Tony Conyers and Carly Burham and Nick Lamparelli from Insurance Nerds and said, hey, kind of been noodling around. I think I might have a book here. What do you guys think? And so they had published their own book called Insuring Tomorrow, which is about millennials and insurance. Mm-hmm. It's an outstanding book. Mm-hmm. And they had just published a book called When Words Collide by Bill Wilson, who's worked with independent agents for 40 years, talks about coverage disputes and stuff. And what I like about both those books, and particularly Bill, like he's kind of got an irreverent style. So, most insurance books, right? It's either like a CPCU textbook or an agent licensing exam study guide, like pretty dry.
Yeah,
like
I would say Snoozeville, right?
Yeah. So I realized that there's a green field out there for quote unquote popular insurance books. So,
you're part of the insurance pop culture, is that right?
I am. Exactly. I may be the first ever insurance celebrity. Somebody told me the other day or last week, year, they're like, I think you're the most photographed man in insurance.
Oh my God.
Like, that's not a good look for insurance, if that's true. I'm like balding middle-aged white guy. I guess that would be pretty appropriate.
That's almost spot on though, right? I mean, I just was at a conference actually earlier today, and I was looking around like, the mean age felt like it had come down, but the kind of look there's still a lot of that stereotype still kind of fits. But it's good to see the youngins coming through too. And I did see a bunch of them today. So,
and by youngins, you mean people like me, mid 40s, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like, you're a baby in insurance.
That's why I stay in this industry. Cause every other industry I'd be like the old geezer, but I'm still on the young end of the curve.
So I can be in my 40s and I can be involved with technology and sound like I know what I'm talking about. That doesn't happen in other industries, right? That's like the 22-year-old guy who just came out of Caltech or something like that.
Exactly. So the book got published in February of last year, and it's just done amazingly well. I've sold over 2,500 copies in 12 countries. Got to speak all over the globe, which is just incredible. And what's amazing is, so I wrote it really from a U.S. perspective because that's what I know, and I spent a lot of time mostly on the personal line side, auto and home. And my rationale was, A, that's what I knew from my time at USAA, mm-hmm. but B, even if you work on the commercial line side, like we're all consumers, right? We all have to buy auto and home. So it's a product that I think almost all of us are familiar with. And so what's just blown me away is how people in other countries, I mean, I have folks like reaching out from Nigeria. I've got a guy that reached out from Iran. He wanted me to send him a copy. I sent him a copy, and like three of them are in an office in Tehran, like sharing a copy. I was like,
wow,
I could have sent you guys three copies. You didn't have to all share. And I'm happy to announce we just sold the first foreign language rights.
Wow.
And I would never guess it's actually the rights for the Mongolian edition of The End of Insurance to Know It. Yeah. So the four people in Mongolia are going to spend 6 months to translate the book from English to Mongolian and publish it over there. And they're kind enough to say, hey, when we're done, you know, we'd love to have you come out. So
I'd love to have you do an audiobook in Mongolian if you can.
I should do that. So so speaking of audiobook, actually the audiobook just came out earlier this month, and in when we're recording this in January, I know it's going to come out a little bit later. So and I had a wonderful woman, Kayoni James, kind of record it for me, and she did a masterful job. So yeah, it just, I go on and on, but yeah, it's just been a hit, and it's like folks know it. When they meet me, they're like, you're the guy that wrote the
book. You're that guy.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, and did you get any
resonated?
Did you get any infringement issues with REM for The End of the World as We Know It as a title?
Was that not yet. They have not found me yet.
Okay, and, good.
Yeah,
good.
People love the title, and quite honestly, it was one that we were kind of noodling around as a group. And then I'm the one that came up with the title, but as soon as I mentioned it, like everyone was like, yeah, that's it.
They're like, and it's great. And it really, and you know, it, and obviously, like I said before, just listening to you talk, you can tell it's just, it just kind of flows. Then your conversation is, you're very conversational, and that's the way the book reads as well. I'm a fan. For those of you that don't know, it's The End of Insurance as We Know It, How Millennials, InsurTech, and Venture Capital Will Disrupt the Ecosystem. A lot of the stuff we talk about on this podcast, and we'll circle back around it again, and you can let everybody know where to get that. But let's talk a little bit about what you're currently doing in your other job, the one that pays probably more than being an author, as I know from some experience in my own house that authors don't necessarily make very much money writing books. It's like you, I think you mentioned getting paid to go speak is where a little bit of it is, but you have a real job too, Rob. And as a director of innovation at AF Group, talk to me a little bit about, you know, that digital distribution. What are you doing there that's interesting and would give people sort of insight in not only what you're doing, but what top agencies are doing and should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to. So it was a big change for me when I started at AF Group, and AF stands for Accident Fund. So that's kind of our flagship brand. We were the state fund of Michigan for decades, and I'm actually celebrating 25 years of privatization this year. So allowed us to go beyond the state boundaries of Michigan. And over time, we've acquired some other great companies, United Heartland, CompWest, Third Coast Underwriters. We've got AF Specialty, actually started our homegrown kind of insurance brand called Fundamental Underwriters. Most of those brands do workers' compensation. That's what we're known for. But we actually broke into commercial trucking for the first time in late 2018.
Okay.
With Fundamental Underwriters, and looking to kind of expand and do more specialty and niche lines. So we've always done business through independent agents. They're just, you know, tremendous partners from ours. And it was a big change for me personally going from USA, which is obviously a direct writer.
Right.
And so just kind of, you know, the ways that people buy insurance today and kind of, you know, like setting an appointment and going to an office or looking in the yellow pages for an ad. Like, it's just obviously, you know, the way that people shop for any product is different. And usually they start their shopping experience online. And especially that's true of small businesses. So it's estimated that this year in 2020, 60% of small businesses are going to be owned by millennials, or even Gen Z is now starting. And so they're obviously growing up in this Google, Amazon, you know, kind of Facebook world. And so, the days of, you know, save 50% or 15 minutes or more, whatever, like we're all just saturated with all those messages. And usually you're just starting with your online search, like workers' comp insurance, you know, what is workers' comp, right? Or where do I get it and whatnot? And it you know, it may not be done like totally online, right? But I think at some point in the kind of shopping experience, that's where these customers are. And very often it's at the very beginning, right? It's kind of how they start their search. And so, you know, we want to have a presence there. And we want to help our agents have a digital presence out there. So we've built a platform that's rolled out this year that basically allows for the quoting of work comp with us for certain classes of business, and again targeted to the small and micro-sized businesses, where they can go online and they can just answer, you know, a few questions, probably a few more than they would prefer to, but you know, it's really not a bad experience at all. And then they can get ideally a price back, and if they like that price that we're quoting them, then they can kind of go on to the next step. And the next step is basically to have somebody from that agency kind of reach out to them and finish the process. Mm-hmm. And the platform is, it's what's known as white label. So basically our agents can put their logo, color schemes, their branding on it. So mm-hmm. it looks like it's coming from them.
That's great.
They can host it on their website if they choose to, but they don't have to. So as you probably are aware, Rick, like some agencies do an amazing job with their websites, and some websites look like they haven't been touched since they were originally created in 1995. So
when their brother-in-law decided he wanted to be a website builder in his garage and put it together. Yeah, there's plenty of those out there.
You still got the gremlins going over the page or whatever. Exactly. Like with Alta Vista was the way we all, you know, we all got American Online and whatnot. So
you look it up on your phone and it doesn't even fit in your phone. Exactly. It's not mobile enabled. It's obviously, yeah.
So the beauty of it is, you know, if you can host it on your website, if that's what you want to do, and it's right there and you know, it kind of adds a feature and functionality to your website. Mm-hmm. But then you can be a standalone as well. And so basically, you know, the ask for independent agents that want to be part of the program doesn't cost anything to be part of it, but we just want to make sure that they're willing to make the investment in digital marketing.
Yeah.
And many of our agents already do a great job in the digital space. They're all over it, but some are new to the digital marketing game and space. And so we provide some tools and some guidance, kind of a playbook on how to do that, step-by-step guide to get folks started. But yeah, it's, you know, what's tough about small commercial, you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on it, but so many people are kind of going after this target audience from a carrier perspective, right? Because it's highly mm-hmm. profitable for carriers, but for independent agents, right, it can actually be kind of a money loser because the cost of acquisition and to chase that business, you know, you're just never going to make in commissions what it takes to acquire that business. So there's this kind of conundrum that's out there. And so you see different companies kind of going at it with different approaches. Some that have traditionally gone through independent agents or trying to go direct with this channel. Others are using marketplaces or comparative freighters or other stuff. For us at AF Group, like we wanted to partner with our independent agents. And so we got their feedback on the platform, you know, their kind of feedback and considerations all throughout the design. And we've gotten, you know, a lot of positive feedback from the rollout of it. Just the thoughtfulness that's in there. And then, you know, if they are able to sell a comp policy through it, then they can, you know, build on that account, create a package, right? And this grows over time. So it kind of gets them in the door. You know, hopefully they can be there at all stages for that business as it grows.
Well, I'm out there talking, like to your point, I'm out there talking to these agencies and it is a big, big topic. What do we do with small commercial? Are we going to lose money? Can we break even? Is it worth the break even for the cross-sell opportunities? You know, and I would say just rattling things off the top of my head, if you want to be good, you still have to be niche-y to be successful. Mm-hmm. And that's one. Two is you've got to be edging and measuring how it is going. Is it taking, you know, Bill, who's my CSR in my office, you know, 90% of his day handling BOPs, and we're, you know, that's not productive if he's not able to handle the volume that makes it a good ROI. So it's really like, I've always just said one niche, two, and you don't have to niche like, oh, we only do X. No, it's just like, but find two or three things so you can start bundling them so you're not all over the place with your carriers and things like that. But doing things like what you're talking about doing is, I'm hearing more, and you and I touched on it when we talked last, but that's the kind of stuff that opens the door to other opportunities. And what I love about the white labeling aspect of it is, today it's all about your brand, because to your point you've made a few times now, 15 minutes, blah, 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 you know how that goes. There's a, like when I say just 15 minutes can save you, everyone knows the rest of the jingle and they know what company it is. So they need to know what your, I hear a dog barking. Dog, are you being attacked? Rob, are you okay? Yeah.
That's Amazon coming for the fifth time today. She makes sure those guys leave the package and then leave immediately.
I put my dog in, I'm in the studio here, but it, maybe you heard about four or five. In fact, there's one right now. I've got pretty good soundproofing, but you hear that in the background. If you can, that's another jet coming out of Miramar. Nice. They're doing some kind of, routine today. Cause they're just, and it's, I love the sound, but not when I'm trying to record. Anyway, back to my point on white labeling. If you are looking at that from the right perspective, which is brand building and brand awareness of who you are, things like white labeled opportunities, what you're doing, that's where it is, man. This is where it lives. And that's how you build that loyalty with that customer. And that's how you get more. And that's how you make small commercial or whatever you're doing more viable. And using workers' comp as an inroad, especially because there's money to be made in workers' comp, is brilliant. I love it. All right. So I want to change gears on here, Rob, and go into a topic that if you listen to this podcast at all, you've heard me talk about many times, but it's something that needs to continually be talked about and how to deal with. And I want to get your perspective on it. And it's sort of that, like, obviously, I always say it's meeting people where they are. And that to me stems directly from the change in today's consumer. So talk to me about your perspective on today's consumer and obviously some of the things you probably talk about in your book, but if I'm an agency, what is my like starting point for how to deal or how to respond or be in a relationship with today's consumer?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a couple things. Number one, I always find it fascinating that, and again, I don't want to get any hot water here, right? We talk about generations and whatnot, but like everybody prefers to do business differently. And my dad the other day, he's 85 years old. He was trying to sign up for something that my aunt sent him and all that. And it like wanted to validate that it was him. So it sent him a text. Well, he to validate like two-factor authentication. Well, he's got a flip phone. Like he couldn't click on a link. He couldn't whatever. And I was thinking like, oh my God, Dad, like how do you even still have a flip phone today? But like, he's living his life. He's doing his thing. He's, you know, like it's, he's hasn't needed a smartphone in 10 plus years, right? You know, and he's perfectly happy with the way things are and he goes about his business and whatnot, right? I mean, there's folks like me who, you know, I'm that person that, you know, it's like multiple hours every day of screen time, right? I need to put it down, like the opposites. I'm like, you know, addicted to it, right? And I was addicted to crackberries back in the day before iPhones and all that. So, you know, I think the bottom line is just, you know, we talked about the digital consumer and all that. We certainly talked about millennials and where people are. And I think it's important to have a digital presence. Like if people can't find you online, they kind of assume you don't exist for a certain segment, right, of the population. But that doesn't mean that everyone wants to do business that way. And I think the key is path of least resistance, right? Here's the analogy I use, right? There's tons of medical information online. I can go to WebMD, whatever, when my knee hurts. And maybe I've got, you know, a strained knee or sore ligaments or I tore something, but I'm not about to grab a scalpel and pull up a YouTube video and perform surgery on myself, right? I'm going to go to an expert and I'm going to get that MRI. And I'm going to talk to that person about, hey, what's really going on? And I might be a more informed patient, right? To come in and say, well, I read this online. Could it be arthritis or this or that? But at the end of the day, I'm still going to want to see somebody that's an expert. I'm going to take the path of least resistance. So I'm going to do some research on my own and that could be online or that could be, you know, otherwise. But I'm going to go see the expert and it's no different for insurance. Right. I just think it's certain.
And that's important right there. That Rob, that's so important that people get that because you've also probably seen these agencies now too, that think, well, I'm digital. So I've mastered it. It's like, that's not the end of it. You still have to be the trusted advisor. You still have to like give an added value for everything. And so while you do want to meet them where they are and you want to communicate, and I've always said, you know, the change in the referral process is so much different than it was 10 years ago, where if, you know, you and I are friends and you said, you should call Dylan, he's my insurance agent. And he hooked me up. I was probably just going to call Dylan. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to get that referral from you. And then I'm going to go find Dylan online. And if to the point we made earlier about the 25-year-old website, if Dylan's website looks like my, you know, my, your attack dog designed it, then I'm done anyway, even with the friend's recommendation. So not only is it the combination of that digital, but you, when they get there, you have to not only be there, you have to be there in a way that shows what you are and what your value is to them. And it's tricky, but that goes back to what I said a while ago, which is it's about building a brand. And whatever you, like, if I said you're going to leave the industry, like, and you know, what do you want on your insurance tombstone? What is your legacy? That's what you should be sending out digitally. That's what you should be sending out in your online brand. That's what you should be sending out in your marketing. What do you stand for? Why should they come to you? And I think the combination of doing that digitally and meeting today's consumer where they are, with the just like almost maniacal putting the importance on your brand, your agency's brand, and what that means, who you are, I think that's how you win. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do totally. And you know, so we know agencies range, you know, there's all sorts of agents, right? There's just a single right mom and pop shop all the way to really large operations. But you know, if you think about it, right, there aren't too many mom and pop businesses around anymore. Like, it's Walmart and Amazon, these big behemoths, right? And so if you can make that customer feel, even if you're a large agency, but if you make them feel right, like it's a kind of mom and pop operation, they're, you know, you care about them as an individual, and that could be, you know, for personal lines, or that could be as a business owner, but just that you know them, that you care about them. And then that's not going to be just face-to-face, although it might be face-to-face, but it could be video chat, or it could be being on Instagram. It could following up with a text instead of an email, right? I think everyone's going to have, so people want different communications at different times for different things, right? And I do think that there's moments of truth where they want to be able to pick up the phone and get a human on the other line. They don't want to have to go through a call tree and all that. And so to your point, I think just understanding the different preferences and understanding that there's a range, right? And then understanding from your clients, like, hey, these are the times more often than not that they want to pick up the phone, right? Versus these are the times that they just want to, you know, confirm something or check something. I can do that by text or not. And there's some cool products out there. And I know you guys at Vertifor, like, you know, you talked about like a platform and APIs and kind of a marketplace and all the things. I mean, that's really the beauty, right? Of it's not just this big behemoth now, but there's so many different ways that you can kind of extend and go
and find what works for your agency.
Exactly.
But the only way to do that is to try things, right? I mean, you can't just be like, I wish we were more digital. Or I wish we were automating. You got to try it. So, and that brings me to my next question. You and I were talking before and we talked about, you know, this ongoing, like sort of the peril of the demise of the independent agent. You know, that's been going on for years. And I want not only you to talk to me about what your thoughts are on that, because I love when you talk about this, but kind of what that looks like moving forward and how strong we are, because, you know, we've been here, the demise and Geico and the independent is going the way of the travel agent. I say nay to that, Rob. I say nay. And I want to hear what you say.
Yeah, I'm with you. Actually, wrote a piece recently for Last Agent Standing talking about the revenge of the independent agents. You know, maybe playing up that Star Wars theme with the last Star Wars movie coming out not too long ago right? But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, how long have we been hearing about the demise of the agent and they're just a cost center, right? We just need to cut down on these commissions and then make insurance more affordable and drive up profits or whatever, right? But nothing can be farther from the truth. I mean, I think not only are independent agents still around, right? And I think some are just really thriving. I think there's actually been a lot of youth. I love meeting like young people that some have taken over, right? And again, that family agency, it's great to kind of see multiple generations. I've met some that are third or fourth generations, and I love those stories. But I also love brand new agents that have never, they just decided to kind of jump in, and they do like crazy stuff, and they're doing all sorts of crazy stuff on social media or whatever. And I don't mean it like in a bad way. It's just like, they're authentic, right? They're real. They're not corporate, and I don't mean that they're not professional, right? But they have a personality. They're interesting people. They're not just, again, this kind of one size fits all, just ad campaign or whatever. And they're not afraid to experiment. Obviously, there's agents out there that have great podcasts and again, just great content, YouTube videos, all sorts of stuff. And so, and everyone's got a little bit different style, but yeah, like it goes back to what we were talking about before, like being there in the channels that those people are already in and kind of being a part of their life. Like you're going to be part of the consideration set and just, you know, so relatable, right? I think that's, people are craving that. People are craving the relatability, the authenticity, and being seen as an individual in our, you know, one-click shopping world. So yeah, I don't think it's going away. And if, again, interest is complicated, right? And you don't want to screw it up. Yeah,
I was
going to
say, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. This is a hard thing you're talking about. You're saying be one way, but also at the same time, be this way. And it's a dance, you know? I mean, to figure out how do I become, you know, cutting edge technologically, like how do I get my technology to a point where I'm more operationally efficient? I can be more digital. There's more automated processes, all of those things. But by holding on to what I've been talking about, which is my brand, but also holding on to that personal relationship, it is a dance. And for me, like, I think it's the most fun time to be in insurance that I can remember, because there's so many opportunities for trying things and for getting out in front of new ways to differentiate yourself, which has always been the game, right? How do I differentiate myself from an agency that's four blocks away, that's probably got almost all the same carriers that I do? What makes them come to me? Is it that personal, that Instagram touch? Is it that are we marketing, automated marketing to them enough that they feel there's a value add? Did they see us in the community, which isn't digital, like all of these great things? So here's what I want. Like, and the people that listen to the show, I've talked to a bunch of them, like, hey, you know, I love your show. Great content, great guests. And I'm like, thank you so much. How big's your agency? Or how big, you know? And if it's an agency, it's like, well, we're a 3-person shop. We're a 75 person. So it goes all the way across the board. And it's all the way from people that are just starting to figure out, you know, how do I change my game? How do I become, you know, digital? Or how do I become more of a presence online, or whatever that means to them? All the way to your point, where you said some of the agencies you're working with that are way down that road. But if I'm just one of those agencies, it's like, I love what Rob's saying, and I've heard Rick say some of this crap over and over, so I better start paying attention. But I just want to go, I want them to go back to their office tomorrow morning and do something. What would you say, what would you do tomorrow morning to turn that switch on, or to just switch the way your agency goes or operates? What's that thing? Like, what would you do?
Yeah. So, there's been a lot of talk about customer experience, right? And there's like customer experience journey maps, and there's like a whole science behind it. There's people that have that title, right? The customer experience manager or whatever. And there's some really sophisticated tools out there. But one of the ones that's resonated the most with me, you don't have to do all of that. So if you can, and you can afford to do it, then great. You'll get a lot of good insights. But even just, you know, sketching out a whiteboard or a back of, you know, piece of paper from the printer or whatever. If you just kind of roughly sketch out, you know, what do these experiences look like for my customers? And there's something called the peak end. Like whatever that journey is, you look at the peaks, right? What's the highest point along that journey or process that you have, right? Where the customer is kind of elated, or you used to use this term delighters, right? That mm-hmm. Apple started and everyone kind of talked about delighting. And then what's the worst part, right? What's the part that's like, oh, that sucks, or I feel like bailing, or, you know, I'm not going to, you know, continue through the application process where I did quote or whatever. And then what's the end? And so if you kind of just focus on the peaks and the ends, that's what customers remember. They don't remember all the stuff in between, right? And so if you look to try to make your low, your trough, like a little bit better, and then you really make your awesome peak like as high as you can, and then make sure it ends on a really good experience, and then the rest of the stuff, it's like, yeah, that doesn't really matter that much, right? So mm-hmm. if I can automate, yeah, or if I can streamline or whatever, like I don't need to be better than other agencies at all of these parts in the process, right? It, maybe you're not the best, you know, you're not like getting their certificate of insurance out there like by a text 2 seconds. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, there's probably different things, but you know, there's going to be certain things that really matter, right? Or maybe it is that, right? Like maybe that's a special test. It's like, wow, you know, I got that in like record time. That really, you know, was memorable and made my day. But you know, it's going to be different for every agency, but you know, kind of just sketch that out. And yeah, again, it doesn't have to be all scientific about it. That's what I would do, and kind of say, hey, the rest of this stuff that doesn't matter, how can we streamline? How can we be more efficient? I don't need to have humans touching, at your point on the BOPs earlier, right? It's like, okay, yeah, I don't need Ted stuck in the back all day doing a bunch of, you know, back office stuff. And I've had people, leaders, you know, come up to me and they're like, Rob, I have people that are looking at screen one and they're typing the same information to screen two. Like it's 2020. That shouldn't happen anymore, right? And it does. It happens way too often.
Well, and I think like you're like speaking my language, because I, Dylan can tell you, because he has to listen to me prattle on about this, but planning is the thing, man. And whatever that is, planning for whether or not BOPs are small, you know, small commercial is viable, whether or not my agency is running efficiently, drawing up, you know, ideas like you're talking about, it's all just about planning. So we want to keep this a digestible amount of time, so we'll have to do it again. I am a huge fan. So what I would say here is, let me just kind of do a quick recap. The book, The End of Insurance as We Know It. How do they get it, Rob? Where do they find it?
Yeah, so it's sold exclusively on Amazon. Pretty easy to find. Just go to Amazon and search for it. Or if you go to Google, usually it pops right up. I also have a companion website called endofinsurance.com. So you can find reviews, you can find podcasts, videos, some other content there if you want to know. It's available in paperback, Kindle, and now audiobook. So it's on Audible. That's awesome. If you're an audiobook fan, and check it out. And
hashtag baller.
Find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with folks there.
Yes, find me on Facebook, LinkedIn.
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram too, but probably the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn, and just, yeah, shoot me a note. Let me know what you think.
And Rob's very good at getting back to you. He's got any, you can just tell if he hadn't already figured it out. He likes to help people. And it's been one of those times where, like I said, we'll have to do it again, because I really enjoy the time. I'm going to ask you the final question. We always end with this question. It's our time capsule question. I'm going to put the record button on for this next little segment. We're going to take what you say and bury it, and someone's going to dig it up next week, in a year, whenever. What is Rob Galbraith's one big piece of advice for the industry?
So my big piece of advice is, we live in a world of accelerating change. It's getting faster and faster. Stuff we take for granted is like mind-blowing 10 years ago. GPS, right? Amazon Echo is everywhere. You just talk, it tells you the temperature, stuff like that. So you need to figure out ways to cope. You cannot keep doing the same thing over and over. You have to get faster. You have to learn more. You have to get more efficient. You got to keep up.
Boom. I love that. Rob, thank you so much for being on, man. I really appreciate it. Great information for our guests. Great content. As promised, the most interesting man in insurance. Thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Rick. Thanks so much.
Everybody out there, don't forget to subscribe, follow me, and connect with me on LinkedIn, and you'll find out about these episodes. What I really would love to see everyone doing is, when you get that little note, because we've connected on LinkedIn, is that you share it with your universe, and we get this podcast, which, by the way, is doing incredible numbers. We want to blow this thing out and just get it up to a point where the world needs to know, the insurance world needs to hear people like Rob Galbraith and the other people we have. So don't forget to do that. Tune in next week, and we will see you then, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertafore.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at Vertafore.